this session will be the first session about the seven feasts of Jehovah that I have an exercise in my heart to share somewhat with you.
Thank you.
And obviously, because this is going to be only a 20-minute session, because I have to stop at 10:30, I understand, I will just give a little bit of introduction, read a few verses, and then just we'll take it in the will of the Lord after the ministry, after the remembrance meeting for the next session, and Lord willing, we'll do a third one on Tuesday night. Leviticus chapter 23, let me read this passage in Leviticus chapter 23. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Thank you, brother. The verses that I'm reading, I'm actually only going to read the first couple of verses here, so we'll have a start here. Verses 1 to 5, I'll read. The Lord spake unto Moses, his Hebrew's name is Moshe. The Lord spake unto Moshe, unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of Jehovah, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Shabbat of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath or the Shabbat of the Lord in all your dwelling places or your dwellings. These are the feasts of Jehovah, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season. And then we begin with the first feast, verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover. And I'm going to pause here with the reading of this text here. If you turn, you put your finger here, turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 5, 1 Corinthians, New Testament, the New Covenant, chapter 5. And the verse that I want to read is really one verse, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. And the verse is very simple, very nice verse, applied to our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, which we read. And listen to this, brothers and sisters, purge out, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, or Messiah, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And I'll stop here for this moment. Now there's many verses that I had on my mind to read, but for time's sake, I'm not going to do so. Because of time. Now, please look at me for a second. Look at this chart that we have here before us this morning. This is a chart that is, the title of it is the Feasts of Jehovah, the Feasts of the Lord. I want you to notice the word for feast here. The Hebrew word for feasts is moed, and moed means an appointed season. It's not merely a time where you come and you eat and you drink and you celebrate, but it has to do much more than just coming to celebrate. It is speaking about an appointed season. There is a time in which God have made an appointment with his people Israel, and he meant for them to come to this appointment in order for him to communicate with his people what he has for them, and for them to acknowledge who God is and what he has done for them. Now you notice that we didn't read all the feasts, but there are seven feasts that the Bible teaches us in Leviticus chapter 23 that speaks about the feasts that God had given our own people, the people of Israel, historically, some 3,500 years ago. Can you imagine when Israel, the people of Israel, came out of the land of Egypt? And they have stood before Mount Sinai, and they received the law from the God of their fathers. Somewhere there, God had given them an appointed celebration, an appointed meeting times, a cycle that will have to be fulfilled every year, a yearly cycle in which those seven feasts have been given to the people of Israel. And so you notice that here, it says the first one is the Feast of Passover, which we read in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 5. Immediately following after this, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is called in Hebrew Matzot, unleavened bread. Thirdly, you have the Feast of First Fruit. And then fourthly, you have the Feast of Pentecost. In Hebrew, we call it Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. And it has to do with 50 days following the Feast of First Fruits. And so we have the first four feasts that God had given our people of all, the people of Israel, are the spring feasts that God had given to the people of Israel. And then there is a break. There is a break of about 3 months. The fourth, the fifth, and the sixth month is a break between the spring feasts. And then in the fall season, there are additional three feasts. And this is the Feast of Trumpet. Secondly, the Feast of, or the Day of Atonement. And finally, the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I want us to understand, this is very important in the study of Leviticus chapter 23, that every one of these feasts is linked, first of all, number one, with the person of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Secondly, it is linked with the nation of Israel in both coming of the Messiah. The first coming of the Messiah, where Israel did not accept the Messiah at his first coming. And the second coming of Messiah, where Israel will ultimately will accept the Messiah in the future day. Now, as far as we are concerned, we have already passed those what we call the first four feasts, on which this morning I want a little bit to talk about the Feast of Pesach, the Feast of Passover, one of the most important feasts in biblical history, both for the people of Israel as well as for the church of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And I want you just back to go to the scripture with me, and I want you to notice what it says here in verse 5. It says, in the 14th day of the first month, at evening, it is the Lord's Passover. Now you notice that the Lord saying to Israel, it is the 14th day of the first month. Now as far as God is concerned, everything began for the nation of Israel historically. And in fact, for you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, everything began with the Passover. Why it began with the Passover? Because in typology, the Passover is speaking to us about the coming Messiah who will shed his precious blood as the Lamb had to do so. And the blood will make an atonement. The blood will be a covering for everyone that will appropriate the blood that the Lamb had to shed in order for God to deliver this person out of judgment. And you notice that in the picture here below, the people of Israel, and I'm going to go to these verses in a moment, the people of Israel had to sprinkle the blood of an innocent lamb and to sprinkle the blood on the doorpost and the lintel of their homes. And you can see how the sprinkle of the blood happening. The boy here is holding the bowl with the blood, and the father is taking the blood and applying it to the doorpost and the lintel of their homes. And why it was so important for the people of Israel? Because God was telling them, you know, there is a day coming in which the lamb is going to be slain and his blood shall be shed, and I will judge everyone that their blood was not appropriated and applied to the doorpost and the lintel of their hearts. And it speaks to us of the cross of the death of the Messiah. And here we can see the New Testament at the top here, and really you can see that it speaks to us of the time in which the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, have shed his precious blood some 2,000 years ago in the appointed season Like Galatians 4 and verse 4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law. God has sent his Son, the Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, as we call him in Hebrew, and in the fullness of time, he became that one that shed his precious, precious blood on the cross and become the deliverer, the redeemer of this world. Now, please go back with me into Exodus chapter 12. And the reason that I'm reading now Exodus chapter 12, because in Leviticus chapter 23, we do not have the explicit instruction concerning the celebration of the Passover. It is in Exodus chapter 12 that we receive these instruction concerning the feast of Passover. And so notice that, just a couple of highlights here with the time that we have. First of all, you notice in Exodus chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. And he said, this month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. You notice again, brothers and sisters, that God is very particular. He says, listen, this month, in the other passages, it's called the month of Nisan, and it's actually called Aviv. It has two names to this month. It is in springtime. It's sometime about March, April in our calendar. God says to Israel, you know, I want you on that particular day, as it says here, you notice it is the first month, in other words, you beginning to select for yourself lambs in order to have a new start, a new beginning. So he continued, notice verse 3 and 4, and now he gives them instruction on what to select, about the lamb that they are to select in order for the lamb to become the sacrificial lamb. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, and say unto them, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the soul. Every man according to the eating shall make your count for the lamb. Now, brothers and sisters, look at this, how specific God had given Israel instruction. It must be on. It must be the beginning of the year to them. Everything is going to begin new for the people of Israel. It is the first month that they will begin a new, you might say, a new, as a nation. A nation will be regenerated, coming out of bondage, out of slavery, into freedom. And so he gave them the new start, the new beginning. But in order for them to be delivered out of the land of Egypt, they have to take a lamb. Now we know very well from John 1:29, John 1:35, and other passages where you remember the declaration where they saw the Lord Jesus, the writer, John the Baptizer, says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of this world. Well, it is the Lord Jesus who became that lamb who will lay down his life on the tree, on the cross, for the sin of this world. But in typology, he's the Passover lamb, as we read in 1 Corinthians 5:7. And just the same, like Israel had to take the blood and sprinkle on the doorposts and the lintel of their homes, every one of us have to appropriate the blood of Christ, the blood of the Messiah, to our own hearts, to the doorposts and the lintel of our very own hearts. But everything began here. Brothers and sisters, everything began with the death of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And so we read that God gave instruction, a new beginning. They were to take a lamb, and you notice that it says so beautiful in this verse 4. It says, if the household be too little for the lamb, you know, if I would have write this text, I would write if the house is going to be too large for the lamb. But the Spirit of God is telling us there is so much value in the blood of that lamb that the house may be too little, so you can invite the neighbors and the people around to come to enjoy what the lamb would have been would provide for mankind. And so the lamb have to be selected. You notice in verse 3 it is a lamb. In verse 4 it is the lamb. And you notice what is happening in verse 5, it is your lamb. You notice the succession here? It is a lamb. But it is the lamb. But then in the beginning of verse 5, it is your lamb. In other words, it's not sufficient enough for Israel to say to God, you know, God, okay, you told us to take a lamb and we will take a lamb. But God, as far as God is concerned, even though every household among our people of all, the people of Israel, they have taken a lamb, but as far as God is concerned, there is only one, and it is the lamb. Mm. And the lamb is, of course, is a type and a picture of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And then in verse 5, he says, your lamb. It has to be our own. Israel had to appropriate that lamb and to make this lamb to be their own. This is the Passover lamb, beloved brothers and sisters. And so he gave instruction that has to do with the dates. He gave instruction that has to do with the selection of a lamb. But now notice one more thing before I'm going to end here. There is something unique about that lamb. That lamb was a sinless lamb, you might say an innocent lamb, a lamb that had no blemish whatsoever in it. You notice it says in verse 5, it says your lamb should be, number one, without blemish. Number two, it must be a male. Number three, he must have of the first year, 1 year old. Number four, he must be one of the sheep or from the goats. And notice number five, they are to keep it until the 14th day of the same month. This is verse 6. And then number 6, in verse 6b, and the whole assembly or the congregation of the children of Israel will kill it in the evening. Now I want just to highlight a couple of things here. And if I pass the 10:30, you bear with me another couple of minutes. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. Just bear with me. First of all, without blemish. You know, one thing that always attracts us to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is that he was the only man that never sinned. I mean, think about it. We quoted today Isaiah 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A child that was born into this world that never had any sin. He was born to the Virgin Miriam. There was no sin in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. When he entered into this world, he was that sinless one. The only one that was qualified to become the Redeemer, the Savior. The Bible tells us in Scripture, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. All of us. We have all sinned. But there was one man that never had any blemish in him. Peter says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of the Messiah, as of a lamb without spot and without any blemish. Amen. That's the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And you see, when God gave instruction to our people of all, the people of Israel, 3,500 years ago, he made sure to tell them, listen, Israel, if you are going to take a lamb, you cannot take any kind of lamb. You got to check it out. You got to make sure that there is no blemish in that lamb. And you know, the Lord Jesus, the life that he lived here upon this face of this earth, when we read of him in the gospel, What a joy he gave to the Father. Every word he spoke, every step he took, he gave glory to God. He was that one that ultimately, all his life he walked in perfection, and ultimately he went to the cross, to the tree, to the altar, where he was judged, the just one, for me, for you, the unjust, in order to bring us to God. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. And so that's why when God said to Israel, Israel, if you are going to bring a lamb, you make sure that he is without blemish, no fault. Yeshua said, Jesus says, which of you can find anything in me? You remember when he spoke to the leaders of Israel, they could not find any wrong in him. Pilate himself said, I found no fault in him at all. And so this is the one that is without blemish, the Passover lamb. He's the one whose blood was shed. He's the one who died for us on the altar, on the tree, on the cross. The just one for the unjust. Now notice, secondly, it says here in verse 5b, it says not only that he was to be without blemish, but he was to be a male in contrast to a female. Now do you think it is by accident? You know, God doesn't make it. God is not making it. God gave us specifics in the scripture. When he said that he is to be a male in contrast to a female, he knows why he's saying this. Now, turn with me to Luke 2 quickly for a second. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And look what we read in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. And I'll read verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Notice that? And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him, not her, him, in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. But you notice, brothers and sisters, how beautiful. You know, when God gave instruction to Israel of old to bring that lamb who's going to become the Passover lamb, he must be a male in contrast to a female. That's why Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5b, not only that he will be a perfect lamb without blemish, but he is to be a male lamb. A male lamb. And you remember when the Bible says to us again, Isaiah 9 verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This is the Son of God who became the Son of Man, who lived upon this face of this world for 33 and a half years and ultimately went to the cross to become the Passover lamb. One more thing, please bear with me. Back to Exodus, chapter 12, and verse 5. And I like this very much because this is very precious. Because you notice that it's not only that he was, verse 5, without blemish. Not only verse 5 that he was a male. But in verse 5, thirdly, it said that he was of 1 year of age. You see, it says here of the first year in the King James. Now, you know what that tells us? Again, go back to the Gospel of Luke, please. In chapter 3 this time. Luke chapter 3 and verse 23. Luke 3 and verse 23. And I want you to notice what it says here. It says here about Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. It says in verse 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as it was supposed to be the son of Joseph, which was the son of Eli. Now do you know, brothers and sisters, that when Jesus began his public ministry, he was 30 years old. And when he died, he was about 33 and a half. Now most of us here are older than 33 years of age. Think about that, brothers and sisters. He was a young man when he died on the cross. Young man. The Bible tells us, according to Isaiah chapter 53 and Daniel, he was cut off in the midst of his life. He was cut off out of the land of the living. He died at a very young age, 33, the prime of his life. He gave his life. He laid down his life for the sake of the salvation of mankind. When God said to our people of old Israel that he must be a young male lamb, he was looking forward to the time when the Messiah, Jesus, will come and will become that Lamb of God and the Passover Lamb. So the appointed seasons that God had given Israel are so vividly speaking to us about the person and the work of our Lord Jesus. There's so much to tell you here, but the clock is moving. And I'm going to have to stop because they have a meeting after that. We continue a little bit later on after this. I just want us to just realize how precious, when you look at the feasts of Jehovah, every feast is linked with the person and the work of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's just give thanks. Father, we want to thank you for this short message concerning the Passover and the Lamb, Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah. Bless the rest of this morning, we pray in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.